original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of the entertainment industry, so that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you're interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, which is latalkradio.com. You're on there now if you're listening to us live. Little clue. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down and you look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality. Click the link, and this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view a whole list of our past guests. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes, and we're under the podcast section. So you just go to the podcast section, type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are. And if you want to find out about our future guests, you want to go to our official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. Now, as always, our guests are fantastic, terrific, super califragilistic, expialidocious. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good. But today, I love this guest. He's been on before, and we had emails to bring him back. Now, of course, people want to ask questions, and I'm not set up to, have people calling in and asking, is my mother with me? Is my dog Trixie in the house? I can't do it. We are going to ask him some questions today, and hopefully it will be just as enjoyable, and maybe you can contact him directly, and he'll be able to tell you about all of your loved ones or whatever questions that you may have that he can answer. His name is William Constantine, and while I'm going into my wonderful advertisements, you can check out his website. And his website is psychicwilliamconstantine.com, psychicwilliamconstantine.com. Now, if you listen to my show, you should always have a pen and paper ready, because I'm always starting the show with wonderful workshops and classes or events that you can go to that are free or at a very nominal cost that's going to help you pursue your career. These are tools and things that you really, 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 really need. So let's start off with this is something that a lot of people said, I want to get into the voiceover business. Who do I go to? What do I do? Well, I have a lot of friends that are voiceover teachers that I can recommend, but I wanted to specifically tell you about a voiceover workshop that was just brought up to me, which I think I really love the Actors Creative Workshop. It's actorscreativeworkshop.com. They really have some awesome casting directors over there, and I've never been there myself, but a lot of my friends who are actors go there, and they just say that it is a very positive environment, very good casting directors, very professional. So I tend to gravitate towards advertising them because I get constant feedback that's very positive. So this is a voiceover workshop. If you want to join the ranks of working actors that have made voiceover work their bread and butter, which a lot of them have, very interesting. I want to digress for a minute. I don't know if a lot of you remember a show that was on. Oh my God, this is going to date me. Even I was a baby when I watched it. I remember it. It was called Family, and it had this actress named Christy McNichol on, and I think her character's name was Buddy. Now she became like America's sweetheart. Everybody loved her. Oh my God, she was in everything. She was the highest paying actress at the time on television, being at just $1 million, which was unheard of at that time. And everybody wanted her. Everybody loved her. Everybody wanted to be her. And due to a very documented public, yeah, it came out later on, years later, that she suffered from being bipolar, and then she eventually quit acting in 1995. She did not show up for years and years and years because of the illness that she suffers. Well, she got back into acting doing voiceovers. And not that she needs the money, because she is a very intelligent woman and invested very well in real estate, but she loves doing voiceovers because she says you can get the same satisfaction of being an actor, but it's just so much more private, and you can wear anything, and you don't have to wear makeup, and you can wear what you want, and it pays very well. And I want you people to keep this in mind. You know, as an actor, don't limit yourself by just being seen. There are many, 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 many opportunities for voiceover actors, and you do have to take a workshop. I do have to tell you that there is extensive training involved. It is a little costly, but in the end, you'll get really good work, and it will pay off because they're paid very well, and the convenience, it's just amazing. So there is a workshop coming up, and it is going to be basically, this class is meant to demystify the path to getting consistent voiceover work. And this is going to be done by casting director, producer, manager, Cheryl Lynn Carter. And it's coming up on Saturday, starting April 2nd, April 9th, April 16th, and April 23rd. And the class starts at 4 p.m., and it's going to be at 2703 West Olive Avenue in Burbank. 2703 West Olive Avenue in Burbank. And it's a four-week session, and it's a really low price. Believe me, for a voiceover class, $225. That is low. For those of you who have checked out voiceover classes, you know that this is a really low price. So if you want to register or check it out, you want to go to email info at actorscreativeworkshop.com. actorscreativeworkshop.com. Or you can go to their website directly, actorscreativeworkshop.com, and you can find out more. Just a little bit, I'm going to run just a little bit through Cheryl's bio. She has produced and cast hundreds of television's commercials, including Super Bowl ads, radio interactive spots with advertising agencies in Los Angeles for 14 years, and then she branched out on her own, and she was with Precision Talent, and she produces audio, coaches voiceover talent, and she casts for commercial projects. So she's also the founder and the president of Precision Talent Voiceover Management, and her company, their focus on educating and empowering voiceover talent. So they also market them to different media forms, because there's many, many different ways to get jobs in voiceover work. And she, as president, she oversees the acquisition of all the talent and the coaching and the marketing, as well as the day-to-day administration. So most likely, if you go over there, you're going to talk to her, meet her, or see her roaming around there. She's also the creative director and the casting director and producer for all the audio book and multimedia audio production. So she's also spoken at Actors Network, UCI, CLU, and UCLA. So very, 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 very important to get your little butt over there to a voiceover workshop. I guarantee you'll love it. And you should be exploring all areas of acting if you are an actor. All right. So now let's talk about our fantastic guest, William Constantine. Now, William, who was on our show last year, I think I'm going to officially make him the show psychic. He doesn't know it yet. But so many people just enjoyed our show. We didn't get through all of our questions, but we just had a ball. And hopefully we can get through them today because I have a total of 8 questions. So hopefully we can get through them today. Now, William is really highly sought after. He's an internationally acclaimed psychic medium, spiritual and psychic counselor, and a top executive of the Rachel Ray Show dubbed William the greatest psychic medium the world has ever known. So he has quotes galore. I mean, if you go to his website, you can read so many quotes. So many people in the entertainment industry who have had sessions with him just rave about him. They rave. They cannot say enough. They say he's the real deal. He's a psychic medium who delivers accurate messages in a thoughtful, compassionate way, that he has a profound understanding of death and loss. He genuinely cares about his clients and the healing process. So many people, I just can't even tell you the quotes over there. So he really helps to give clarity to many of life's issues. And he also, in some cases, can give advance warnings to you. So you will definitely be impressed by him. He is the preferred psychic advice provider as far as I'm concerned. Not that I have experience with psychic mediums. He's actually my very first, other than 3 psychics when I was younger in my crazy hippie cousin used to drag me to psychics in New York, and they told me I was a lemonade stand in the desert. Of course, I'm like 10. I don't know what that means, but, you know, maybe I'll ask William what that means. But we are going to talk to him right now because William, for over 10 years, he's been training with angels, ascended masters, and spirits. And while he's a psychic medium, he's come to realize that his reason for being is to help others reach a higher level of consciousness and tune into their own intuition. And my God, especially in Hollywood and in the entertainment business, we need to tune into our own intuition. Sometimes these people can be look a little insensitive. So you need to tune in, learn to read between the lines. And he does this in his work as a spiritual psychic counselor. So many of you need his help. He's helped so many families who've lost someone due to murder and suicide and all forms of death, and he's helped them realize that their loved one is very much present within their lives. So if you've had somebody that you've lost recently, he would be a really good person to talk to about that, because you never know who's lurking around you. There could be a loved one trying to tell you the money is under the television. The money is under the television. You know, there could be lots of treasure and the your loved one is just hovering around you, but you can't hear it because you're not tuned in. Well, William can help you. He's probably going to kill me for saying that, because he really helps. It's not about the money. But anyway, we are going to talk to him about that. He has incredible abilities, and we are going to find out a little bit more. Without further ado, let's ask William, are you there, and are you mad at me for the treasure thing?
I'm here, and I'm not mad. You know, honestly, there are people that hide money. I've dealt with spirits that have stash money behind blinds and, you know, under the floorboards. I mean, just like you would in a classic movie.
Right.
But and people have come to me to help, you know, find that. And, you know, even lost wills and things like that, you know, where people do the weirdest thing when people die. They steal, they hide the will, they, you know, create their own copies, they get themselves written into the will. there's a lot of different things that people do that's sort of shady, and it's one of the things that I try to help iron out, at least with my clients. Now, I may not be able to get them that money back, but I could definitely give them the peace of mind and let them know what was supposed to go to them so they can keep an eye out for that type of stuff. Because a lot of times, you know, it's not necessarily the money that's valuable. It's what that person wants to to hand down and pass down as a generational memorial memento type thing.
Right, like a family heirloom. Yeah, like a family heirloom, a ring that your great-great-grandmother was married in. So, yeah, more importantly, that's more important than money sometimes. The silver tea set, who knows? I know I heard of a long time ago, a friend of mine, Karen, she said that she went to a psychic because her aunt had promised her this silver tea set that was, I think, Martha Washington or something. I don't remember. It was Martha Washington. It belonged to her, and somehow her family got it. And it was hidden in a bag in the backyard, but nobody knew about it, right? And she went to a psychic, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, I see dirt. I see trees. It's where dirt and trees are. Sure enough, they dig the whole damn backyard up, and the silver set is in a burlap bag in the backyard. So you can help. Psychics can help you find your family heirlooms if anybody's interested in that. All right. So let's, we didn't get to cover a lot of those questions. So let's get to those, because you know how fast this show goes. Now, a question. This is from Edward from Boca Raton, and he says, what is the difference between psychic medium, spiritual healer? What does a spiritual and psychic counselor do for people?
Okay, well, first off, let me get to the difference between a psychic and a psychic medium. First off, all psychic mediums are psychic. That means that they're intuitive. They have the ability to sense energies and connect with people intuitively, and almost everybody can do that. Everybody has had that instance where they've connected with somebody and maybe known something about them or picked up the phone before the phone rang. That's intuition. That's stuff that people can actually enhance and modify and grow. And so basically that's what a plain old psychic is. Now, a psychic medium could do that in addition to communicate with the other side. So a psychic medium talks to the other side, and they can help you intuitively in your life path, your career, whatever it is, whether or not you need to move, whether or not you're in the right relationship, whether or not, you need guidance with, should I purchase this or shouldn't I purchase this, or when will I come into this or when won't I come into that. And just a regular psychic pretty much is more just intuitive, and they just pick up on energies, a person's energy that's around them, because everybody has energy, and they read that energy, and it gives them some type of a guideline as to where this person is going. How I do it is I really see a series of possibilities that could happen, and based on the decisions that you've made already, I accurately predict where you might be going in the future. Now, here's the thing with just a regular psychic reading or a regular intuitive reading. Once you know your future, you have the power to change it. So that's a plus, but it's also a benefit, it's also a hindrance, actually, for the psychic, because now what they've done is, now that you have the power to change it, you can change, in effect, your future and make me look like I was incorrect, which is why I like talking to the other side, because the other side gives me proof. They give me evidential validations that people can affirm at that particular point in time. So they know instantaneously that I'm legitimate, rather than having to wait to see if my timeline was right or if this particular thing was right or if that particular thing was right. You know, but I mean, I've been right on predicting deaths, predicting the president, before Obama even was a thought in anybody's mind as the president. Years before that, I was on another radio show, and I had predicted that an African-American male and a white woman would run for presidency, and that the African-American would be the president. And case in point, Hillary and Obama run, and, you know, here we are with Obama as the president.
Wow.
So there's lots of little things like that that go on. I mean, you could predict the sex of a baby, the, you know, just having a pregnancy. A lot of people come to me for that because for some reason we're in a world where people feel like they're infertile. You know, and it's not necessarily that. A lot of times it's a lot of emotional duress or some other reason why the pregnancy hasn't necessarily taken hold or why they've maybe miscarried. And so this is stuff that I really help with them, you know, not only in the intuitive session, but in the spiritual healing aspect of it. Because I really believe that no matter what line of work you're in, if you're in the holistic modality, you're really out there to help people. And you know, even actors, actresses, people in the entertainment profession, they really get into it, not for their paycheck, although that's a plus, but they get into it to be able to entertain people and to help people and to inspire people. There's lots of different reasons why people do what they do, but a spiritual healer, as the question is somebody who is able to, we'll say, manipulate energy by sending a higher vibrational energy, you know, through the airwaves, we'll call them, and, you know, basically heal a person's ailment. I also believe that a person has the ability to heal themselves just by shifting their thinking, because a lot of illness or a lot of dis-ease is just that. It's something where dis-ease manifests in the body through negative thinking or, unreleased emotional barrier that happened, or maybe an experience that you haven't let go of and you're holding on to, because a lot of people in today's society, they have an issue with offering forgiveness, you know, and when you don't do that, you not only become a victim, but so does the person that you're not forgiving, you know, because for some reason we feel like this person is not deserving of my forgiveness. Well, everybody is. And I speak from experience because, I mean, I've spent years being molested. My mom had done loads of bad stuff to me, and I still forgave her before she passed away. You know, and I really think that most people, they really rob themselves of the richness that forgiveness can offer and bring into their life.
I absolutely agree. And until you, because the longer you carry, what I have found is the longer you carry around anger for something that was done to you, it always seems like you're carrying around a bag of luggage. Your heart never feels completely light. And you are always exhibiting what I like to call surface emotion, because I think that there's surface emotion that is that you react to with other people, what they say to you that might remind you of what your mother did to you or what somebody has done to you. And then there's the inner emotion, which is what is causing you to feel that way. So just letting it go, I just find is so much easier. But it is easier said than done, because I'm Irish, so we're very hot tempered.
but at the same time, you know. But take that bag of luggage and times it by a year, times it by 4 years, times it by 5 years, times it by 10 years. After 10 years of carrying it around, it's pretty darn heavy, and I guarantee that you've added more bags of luggage on top of that. And so now you continue to go through life with all these different, and this is why you see people in today's society hunched over, you know, not necessarily feeling well. Cancer is on the rise. You have lots of stuff that's going on because of the fact that they haven't released certain issues that have happened within, you know, their own life experiences.
True.
So that's, you know, that's a huge aspect to it. Now, as far as easier said than done, that's a cop-out. You know, that's, again, the same person who doesn't want to, you know, they don't feel like this person is worthy of forgiveness. Let me tell you something about Christ, the real Christ, is that he forgave before he was ever sinned against. So the issue is that, you know, even prior to sinning against this man, he instantly, you were already forgiven. You were already released of that. And he didn't carry that around at all, because he just instantly released you. You know, so you know, like I think I said at the last time I was on the show, was imagine if we responded with September 11th with not a retaliation, but with love and compassion, and we united together as the United States, and we pulled together as a unit, and then, you know, we actually came into some type of a discussion or some type of something with the countries that have attacked us, you know, and we came through in sort of a law of one mentality, and we started treating people as if they were an extension of us, because they are, and not something separate of us, and then the world would be in a far greater place than what it is right now.
I agree 100%. Now, I got to get these questions in or else we're going to have another session because these people want to know when their questions are going to be answered. All right, let's go to the next one. Julie from Fresno asks, Dear William, a lot of people choose to believe in psychic, what is that? Oh, God, I hate when people can't write. Oh, people learn how to write. Okay. A lot of people choose to believe in psychic, mediums, et cetera. And a lot of people don't. And there are people who have been converted, shall we say. Okay. What would you say is the one thing that happens between a psychic and a non-believer that might convert them into being a believer? Did you understand that?
Yeah, but and here's the thing is there's no one certain thing. For different people, it's different things. You know, it's the evidential validation. For me, as a medium, it's when I give you a hardcore proof that I'm actually talking to a loved one, whether I'm giving a physical description of that person, whether I'm nailing down their personality, whether I'm telling you what your house looks like on the inside, because spirits will take me on a guided tour of your house, you know, whether I'm telling you about a particular photo, whether I'm telling you about a particular jewelry set or a particular date or a particular memory, you know, there's things that only that person could know. And the issue is a lot of the mainstream psychics that you see on TV now, as much as I dislike to say this, you see a lot of general stuff. You see a lot of, you know, it used to be John Edwards used to give names of people. And now it's more, I'm getting an M connection, I'm getting an A connection, I'm getting a J connection. And that doesn't tell me if it's first, middle, or last. So skeptics are on the rise because it's very difficult for people to, you know, really nail down. Now, you know, one of the other issues is that a lot of people in the industry will toss out biblical names first. And most people know a Joseph, a Mary, or so on, you know, because they just happen to be biblical and people just used to be obsessed with the Bible and, you know, constantly name, you know, their loved ones after biblical characters. So that's great, except for the fact that it's very easy to just toss out names. So names are something that I sort of stray away from unless I hear it a half a dozen times, and then I'll say, okay, what's the connection between you and this person? You know, and honestly, I think where the real believers come in is when they've argued with me, because there's a lot of people that will tell me that I'm wrong during a session, and they'll leave the session thinking one particular part of the reading is wrong. And now we all know how the human ego works. Once one thing is wrong, everything else was right, but once that one thing was wrong and they couldn't validate that, the whole reading sucked, right?
Absolutely, right.
So now what happens is now they go home and then they stew on it and they start talking to this family member or that family member, whether they're griping or trying to get, you know, more information, but eventually that validation gets validated because it necessarily wasn't for them but for somebody else. And what happens is then I get an email or a phone call and says, you know what, William, you were 100% correct. I just didn't understand the message. I wasn't around at this time that this person was alive. Because let me tell you, spirits, they'll come. I've talked to people that were ancestors of ancestors, you know, and people had to find this type of stuff out. I've helped people, you know, with their family trees and so on and so forth. There's a lot of different stuff that mediums are, you know, good for. So it's, you know, I think it differs on person to person. You know, for some people,
absolutely,
as far as just a psychic aspect, you know, me being able to predict the sex of a baby. For some people, that is hardcore validation because that's something that they didn't even know.
Right.
Until they went and had that ultrasound, and then all of a sudden now they know what the sex of the baby is. For some people, it's just me predicting a pregnancy or predicting an engagement or whatever that happens, and suddenly now they begin to believe because they've experienced it. Most skeptics haven't experienced an authentic psychic.
Right.
And so it's easy for them to stop and say, oh, this guy's full of beans. And then all of a sudden, you know, when they experience it, it shifts for you because now it's real and it's tangible and it's something that you can hold on to, you know, and it's one of those, you know, momentous moments in your life that you tend to remember.
Right. Now, I have I'm going to hold off on the last two questions here because I actually have some personal questions that I want to ask you here about a show that I saw. Now, I saw this show called Mediums, We See Dead People. It was from 2005. I don't know if you saw it. But on this show, a medium said that some people have spirits following them, and when you take a photograph, you'll see them. And I was thinking, if that's the case, why is it only some people and not all people? Why is it that some people have spirits following them and not all people? That's my first question.
Well, I mean, here's my experience. My experience is that mostly everybody has spirits around them. Now, people in, say, a spiritual profession, like a medium, now they're going to have a plethora of spirits following them because they're in the profession and spirit world knows, hey, this guy could see us, this guy could communicate with us, and we're just going to continue to bother him or her until they relay our message or help us out. So that's A. Now, it depends on if this person is saying that the person themselves were haunted, maybe they had an object or something like that, and there was the spirit was attached to them in some way. You know, as far as capturing a spirit image, that's either hit or miss. That's whether or not, to me, my personal feelings is that's whether or not the spirit wants to manifest in front of the camera. Some do, some don't. So I think that's really the call of the spirit and not the necessary person that, you know, that comes through.
Okay.
You know, for example, when I've done gallery readings, which is in front of a large group of crowd or you know, a smaller group, you know, a lot of times you'll get what's called spirit orbs. Now, I'm not 100% believer, but I just know that when I'm doing a gallery reading, there's a ton of them. So it has to be linked somewhere because it's not just dust everywhere, you know,
right,
dust
right.
just started blowing around. But a lot of times you have to sort of debunk, and that's one of the things that I really try to do because, you know, sometimes I just think that people's imaginations, you know, just sort of go in one direction, and all of a sudden they start seeing things when things aren't in the photo. You know, they see an orb, and it could really be something that was stuck on the lens, or it could have been, you know, dust in the air, or it could have been, you know, a light streak could be that they moved the camera just so as they were taking the photo, and it caused a light streak in the image. So there's a lot of things that people have to sort of take into consideration before they just say, oh, this is spirit activity, or this is this, or this is that. Because I find that there's a lot of people who, after watching all these paranormal shows, they...
I watch all the paranormal shows. That's where I got my next five questions.
Yeah, and they get very hooked on this idea that spirits are constantly manifesting in photos. So what they do is they start looking and analyzing their photos a lot deeper, and they start seeing things that aren't necessarily there.
Right.
It's like when you're looking at a cloud. Now, a cloud's a cloud's a cloud, but sometimes a cloud may look like something else because we're trying to find shapes in the clouds.
Exactly.
The same thing when you're looking in the photo, you're trying to find something that may not necessarily be there, but you tell your reticular-activating system in your brain to say, hey, find me this in this photo, and it does. So
just like in the 80s when you were taking a hit of microdot acid and you saw a pink elephant on the ceiling. You're like, hey, is that a pink elephant? Where? There it is. Oh, yeah. So you see what you want to see, right? So I understand that completely. Now, my next question is, you know, I watch all the psychic shows. Yes, I do. I'm one of those people. any reality show on paranormal, I'm watching it. And one of my questions is, I remember one of the mediums said that there can be spirits following you. And who are these spirits? He said there can be spirits following you who are only your family members or just strangers. And I'm thinking, why not both? Because logically, it would be your family members. Why would strangers follow you?
Well, I don't necessarily think strangers follow. I think what happens is that they may particularly like your energy, or they may like something about you, or they may think that you're somebody, maybe because you remind them of somebody, or they may just be walking around in the same space that you happen to be sharing, and, you know, it to a medium, it's coming across as though they're being followed, when in actuality, that person may just be, you know,
Hop
and look around in the mall, and just because you have, you know, five people behind you doesn't mean that they're following you. It just means that, you know, they're heading in the same direction.
Oh, yeah. Well, that completely answers that. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so when the dead go, one of the mediums said, one of those, I don't know if it was, I can't remember what it was, but he said, when the dead go, the spirit leaves the body. When the spirit, what did he say? I'm trying to quote him exactly. He said, when the dead go, the spirit leaves the body, and they always leave gifts behind. And I'm thinking, does that sound correct for criminally violent people? I mean, what kind of gifts are the criminally violent, you know, the rapists, the murderers, all of these hard people, what gifts could they possibly leave behind?
Their death?
Well, that's not a gift.
Well, it is to the person, whoever they killed or the family. You know, it's releasing the family. But, you know, here's the thing is I believe that we all exist within God consciousness, right? So that we're neither born nor do we die. And science is backing it up through quantum physics and quantum theory. And so that's a whole different topic in and of itself. But the issue is that when the spirit leaves this physical body, which is just energy vibrating at a lower level, you know, causing a physical mass to appear. And really, it's just, truly, it's a interference in the zero-point field if you get into quantum physics and quantum theory. But the issue is that when the spirit leaves the body, it goes on its, you know, back into recycled consciousness, I guess you can call it. And that's where the mediums tap in. You know, as far as leaving gifts, I don't know. I mean, I worked at a retirement home at one point in time when I was younger, and I had to watch somebody die. And I didn't see things falling behind them, you know, diamond rings and presents and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I didn't see that.
I don't think he meant that literally. That's what I just meant. What kind of gifts could I? I don't know. What kind of
is? Well, and I think what it is I think it's the ultimate forgiveness that could then happen. You know, if you were betrayed by somebody. You know, a lot of times when something happened to you and.
I liked your first answer when you said that. I said, what kind of gift could a criminally violent person leave behind?
Yes.
And you said their death. And that would be a gift to someone who was executed on death row for a horrible crime. So that would be a gift to finally get the relief. So I'm gonna go with that answer and move on to the next.
This
one
is like spiritual jeopardy. I like this.
Yeah, I really like spiritual jeopardy. I did. Oh, now see, that's another show. That's why you're getting the Jeopardy feeling, because you know I'm a Jeopardy fan every day at 7. Okay, so why do you think so many people seek mediums for counseling rather than go for traditional counseling?
Because we're better. And the reason why I'm going to say that we're better, and that's
you're
not an ego thing.
Because I think they're like $4.50 an hour, so.
Well, here's the deal. As a medium, an authentic medium can provide you closure. In other words, they give you an opportunity to talk to somebody who maybe it was your departed dad or your, you know, a mom that you didn't necessarily, you know, you weren't able to get to the actual bedside before they died. Maybe you were some out of the country and you never really had those last words. Those last words mean a lot to a lot of people. So being able to get that closure, a normal therapist cannot give you that. They could talk to you in circles, but until you're willing to help yourself, a therapist cannot help you. As a medium, I could get through walls and barriers that you have up and actually touch you, the person, and help you from the inside out. And a lot of people need that. So the other issue is that, you know, you have people who experience death and they want closure. Maybe it's a suicide that they were touched by and now they want to understand because now they're filled with anger. They feel like the person was selfish. They feel a lot of things. And when they actually find out the real reasons why this happened, it provides them closure, but they're also able to forgive and release and not beat themselves up over it. Because what happens is a lot of people go, I should have done this. I could have done this better. I could have done that better. I could have done this better. Or, you know, or they start saying the spirit could have done this better. You know, they could have came to us. They could have done this. They could have done that. And I think when you finally realize what happened and should have happened, then it's easier for you to release, but then I could also work with you as a life coach or counselor and actually help you get beyond grief because, you know, being a medium is really part of the process. You know, it's like a phase that people have to go through. First you go to the medium and then you get counseled because you need, okay, first you get the closure and then you really need somebody to help you get you through the grief process to get back to a place of living. Because a lot of people, when somebody dies, they feel like a part of them has died as well. Or they're just so angry that something has happened or they feel like this person cannot or they won't be able to see this person anymore. They won't be able to get messages from this person anymore. This person has abandoned them. You know, a woman who may be miscarried, you know, suddenly feels beats up on her body. But when she talks to the miscarried baby and the baby comes through and says things like, you know, hey, mom, dad, I understand, you know, what happened and everything happened for a reason and da da da. And each miscarriage is different. So I can't say and just generalize, you know, with what happens with miscarriages, but there's a lot of things that go on. And, you know, and that gives that woman the release that she needs to stop beating up on herself and really shift her consciousness into a positive light. Or somebody who maybe made the decision to have an abortion, you know, it beats up on themselves maybe later on down the road in life where they feel like they can't get pregnant. Again, we're back to the pregnancy thing, but they can't get pregnant, and now all of a sudden they start thinking, well, maybe this is a karmic cause due to the abortion that I had. It isn't.
Right.
I can guarantee it isn't, but the issue is that people feel this way, and when you feel this way, you start to beat up over yourself, and a therapist cannot help you with that. A medium
right.
has to,
exactly.
You know, because somebody who can bring through the message from that departed baby is going to be far, far more profound than a therapist and paying,
absolutely.
You know, whatever it is.
I agree 100%. We got to chalk one up for our psychics on that issue. Now, William, you are not going to believe it's 5:43 and we got to end the show at 5:50. And I want to get this in. I have been waiting for you to come on this show just so I could address this issue. So hopefully you can help me with that. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the show Medium. It was based on the life of Alison DeBoss, psychic. I'm going to put air quotes on that. I don't know if you saw or heard about the appearance that she had on the reality television show, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't know if you heard about this, but she went on the show and made a complete ass out of herself, in my opinion. Personally, my opinion. I got to put that out there. And I loved the show, and I had been a total loyal fan from the first show, but the way she acted on this show was deplorable. She was bitter and catty and vile and mean-spirited and cynical and sarcastic and degrading to a couple of the women that were on the show. And I never watched that show again. And it was canceled shortly thereafter. So I assume that others felt the same way, but she just, in my mind at least, was a disgrace to the psychic medium, spiritual counselor profession, and kind of made the validity of the profession to be questioned. And because we had never, or I personally had seen her before on The Cake Boss or one of those shows. That's the only time I had seen her, Charm City Cakes. And she seemed nice, but many people knew the name Alison Dubois from the show, and we love Patricia Arquette. So Alison Dubois in our minds became Patricia Arquette. But when we saw the real Alison Dubois, who's supposed to be the most recognized name as a psychic, and the way she carried on smoking that damn electric cigarette and carrying on like a moron. She was like a rabid rat going after these women. She just totally made it seem like, I don't know, she did something to the profession. A lot of people have commented on it, and a lot of people have like a kind of negative thoughts towards psychics. They're like, well, how many other people are putting up their social face, and they're really like that? What are your thoughts on that whole Alison Dubois thing that happened?
Well, I mean, I wrote a blog about the whole thing because I didn't get to see the show. I actually had to YouTube it to figure out what the heck are people talking about, right? Because they're talking. Now, the issue is that Alison was drinking, right?
And heavily.
Not to defend Alison, but we've all said things when we were drinking that we didn't necessarily mean to say. Now, that's not a pardon to Alison with what she said and how she said it, nor is that an excuse for the reading that she did for the housewife that was there and the prediction of death that she did, because, I mean, in my blog I go a little bit more extensive into it, but the issue is that it was wrong of her to do that and to act that way. Plus, it doesn't fare well in her light. And I know that the Alison that you saw, you know, I don't know her personally. I mean, I know that it's very easy to upset Alison. And I can understand, because when you're in the limelight, a lot of people want you for the psychic and not to befriend you as a friend. And that happens to me regardless. You know, a lot of people will befriend me, and then they call me and ask me all these psychic questions.
Yeah.
When will this happen for me? When am I going to get there? So can you talk? Is my mom around? Is this person around? Is that person around? So I guarantee that somebody like Alison or John Edwards or Sylvia Brown or James Van Praagh, I guarantee they get this too. And so I think that what you saw was the snapping point of a psychic medium, you know, somebody who got annoyed with the constant badgering, you know, of that aspect, you know, or constantly being put to the test. Because the one thing psychics don't, unless we're willingly adhering to a test, we don't want to be tested by anybody. You know, either you believe in us or you don't. And quite frankly, it doesn't bother me either way. The more you believe, the better the reading is going to be for you. The less you believe, you know, the less the reading is going to be for you. So the issue is, you know, Alison, I think her character was damaged by the fact that this whole thing had happened. And, you know, and I'm not saying anything, but I know people that know people that know people. And, you know, it's just rumor has it is that the drinking was an issue, like is an issue for Alison.
Well, sometimes when people drink, their true personality comes out. And I am a highly intuitive person, very, very intuitive. I think I'm a sensitive, but I'm not sure. But and I can read people's faces like there's no tomorrow. There's not one person who doesn't know me that doesn't say, okay, so you saw her. So what's she really like? I've become known amongst my friends as having that ability. And I know from what I saw, yes, she was drinking, but that woman's face was etched in everything that I just stated that she was. And I think that those were her true colors. So
yeah.
I really think that she's everything that I said. And I would not, if I were were in your profession, I would be embarrassed to have that woman in my profession, because I don't even want to say her name anymore. And I'm not like a crazy fan of the Real Housewives, but I think that that was totally unnecessary. And unless they did some serious editing, she was not provoked into doing a reading. She was not provoked at all. She was asked one time, and that's it. So listen,
well,
we got.
And that's the thing. That, I mean, that is an aspect that you have to take into consideration.
Because
the issue with Hollywood is Hollywood, and they edit things and cut things out and splice things together to make it seem like something.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, and so in Allison's defense, I don't really know 100% what had happened prior to that, what her previous relationship with these ladies were.
Right.
Because we know that the Real Housewives, they're divas. You know, and they're not necessarily the nicest people when they're being portrayed on TV, you know, and you see them backstabbing each other. So
that's
sensitive.
James, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I just got a note that our time's up. It's 5:50, and I gotta end the show or else I'm gonna get in trouble. I'm so sorry. William, you left me again with four questions. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm just going to have to limit it down. Listen, everybody, go to William's website, psychicwilliamconstantine.com. Forgive me for cutting you off. We are going to pick up that Alison Dubois story. Will you please come back again?
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody, go to William's website. We love William Constantine, psychicwilliamconstantine.com. Say goodbye, William.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.